Wow, it's been a great weekend. Anyone else have a good time? Great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for the time, Lord, that you've given us together to be in your word together. To seek you together, Lord, to open your word and to seek to know more of you, more about you, to grow closer to you, Lord, to seek to know more of this thing we call the joy of the Lord, what it is and where it comes from. Father, we continue to ask you, Lord, to give your spirit, even at this hour, to open our understanding, to speak truth to our hearts, and Lord, to fill us with the full conviction of the gospel, of the truth of the gospel of your Son, Jesus, and the joy that comes in believing. For we ask it in his holy name. Amen. I have this little cabin on what used to be a river. It's now a dry creek. And I go down there, and that's my place to pray. It's my place to go every morning to get alone with God and to seek his face and to just commune with the Lord. And it's always such a wonderful time. And as I was praying at my little cabin on the creek this past week and preparing for this talk on the hymns of joy, entitled Hymns of Joy, I prayed, Lord, give me something. Please just give me something, Lord, that will really help your people to understand what it means when we talk about the joy of the Lord and how the joy of every true believer is grounded in the person and the work of your Son, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. That's my message. I determined that what I was going to do was lay the ground of your faith in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is shorthand for laying the ground of the Corinthians' hope in the person and work of Christ, to Christ and him crucified. And I had my Trinity hymnal. We use the Trinity hymnal at Burnett Bible Church. I had it there with me at the cabin, and I had taken it and laid it over on the table next to me, and I looked over and I noticed that when I had set it down, it had opened up. And when it opened up, it fell open to number 437 in the Trinity hymnal. And I was like, yes, thank you, Lord. Within 2 minutes of praying. How many are familiar with number 437 in the Trinity hymnal? Now, we're going to sing it at the end here. My eyes then landed on the first line. Christ, of all my hopes the ground. Christ, the spring of all my joy. And I thought, that's it. That's it. Earlier, I was counting children. Someone said earlier, we have 16. We actually have 17. Number 17 is on the way. We have 16 children, 17 grandchildren. Number 17 of the grandchildren is on the way. Did I get that right? That's my wife. Yeah. Okay, and I was counting the children here, and trying to count how many children are here. This was a couple of sessions ago that were 12 and under maybe, and I counted maybe 35, 37 children here that were maybe 12 and under, and I thought, I wonder if they're getting it. I wonder if the children here are getting the message. I wonder if they understand. If I were to ask them, what is the joy? That's two of my grandkids right there. What is the joy of the Lord, and where does it come from? And so I started going and asking some of you children, what is the joy of the Lord, and where does it come from? Let's see. Well, one of them said, if I can find my notes, it's like how you feel inside. Because you have Jesus. Yes. Another one, a little older, said, contentment, because you know Jesus has saved you. Another one said, salvation in the Lord. Two of the younger ones just said one word, God. You know what I? You know how I responded to them? To those children, I said, that's exactly what John Gill said about our text from Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is from God and has God as its object. You just said what the theologian said out of the mouth of babes. So this hymn, Christ of all my hopes the ground, Christ the spring of all my joy. Again, that's it in a nutshell. It was written by a man named Ralph Wardlaw in 1817. Wardlaw understood that the foundation of every true believer's hope is grounded on Christ and what he has done for us. If you took all of the messages in this conference and you just whittled it all down to what is the ground of our hope? What is the ground of our hope? What is the source of our joy? Christ. Christ. Wardlaw understood this, that he is the source and spring of the joy of every true believer, and that because of who he is and what he has done for us, we can both rest in him and rejoice in him. You know, that's the message ultimately that we were getting from Nehemiah when we started off, right? That's what this is from. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Remember that what happened was all the people got together and they asked the ministers to read them the Bible that they had at the time, the law of God. And they read them the law of God, and they came under conviction for their sin. And after they came under conviction for their sin, they repented of their sins, they turned from their sins, they turned to the Lord, and they felt joy inside where there were tears of repentance. Now there were tears of joy, as one of the speakers said. That's the message. We can both rest in him and rejoice in him, in the Lord and what he's done for us. And we can know that he'll carry us through this life, no matter what we face in this life, and all the way to glory, all the way to eternity. As that hymn goes on, or another line in the hymn by Wardlaw, it says, firmly trusting in thy blood. Here it is. Firmly trusting in thy blood. Nothing shall my heart confound. Safely I shall pass the flood, safely reach Emmanuel's ground, safely reach Emmanuel's ground. The foundation of every believer's hope of life eternal in the presence of God is laid in Christ, in his person and in his work. And he is the fountain from which flows all of our joy and the spring of all our comfort, knowing that what he has done for us, we could not do for ourselves. And because of what he has done, there is, as one of the speakers said, I believe it was Scott, now no condemnation, quoting the Apostle Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in him. We know there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he was condemned in our place. the coroner of condemnation will never draw the sheet of eternal damnation and death over the face of one who is in Christ Jesus. Christ was condemned in our place. It's the message, it's that message that renders us calm and still before God, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in here on earth. And it's that message that flowed from the pen of every hymn writer, both in our time and in antiquity. Every hymn writer who has ever known the power of Christ's death and resurrection. The joy of the Lord is the joy that comes from God, just like those two little children said. Joy that comes from God to those who know Jesus. It comes from God to those who know Jesus, the spring and source of every believer's joy and rejoicing. Because of Christ and what he has done for his people in his life, in his death, in his resurrection from the dead, and in his intercession for us right now at the right hand of the power on high, we, every one of us, can say with the hymnist, nothing shall our hearts confound. Safely we shall pass the flood. Safely reach Emmanuel's ground. Safely reach Emmanuel's ground. One of my favorite hymns of joy was written by a man named Philip Bliss in the mid-1800s. It's called Man of Sorrows. You might say, well, that doesn't sound like a very joyful hymn. But just listen to these words. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And then Bliss, in his next verse, takes us to the cross at Calvary, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Like every great hymnist, Bliss was careful to lay our guilt before our eyes and make us aware of the sinful, helpless, and hopeless condition every one of us was in the unregenerate state in which we were born. And he is careful to remind us of the sinless perfection of our Savior, the spotless Lamb of God, who by his death atoned for our sins, taking our guilt upon his sinless self, and making satisfaction to the justice of God due us for our sins. And Bliss makes known, like all the great hymnists of old and of our modern age, the joy of it all, the wonder of it all. He goes on, guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Can it be? Yes. It can. And it is for everyone who is in him by faith. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And then in the style of the great hymn writers of old, Bliss ushers the singers of his hymn into the presence of God in heaven in the final stanza. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Again, as with Wardlaw's hymn, Bliss lays the ground of every believer's hope in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, the spring and source of all our joy. And like Wardlaw, Bliss reminds us that firmly trusting in Christ and what he has done for us, nothing will detach us from him. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, or powers, nothing present, nothing to come, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Safely we will pass the floods on earth, safely reach Emmanuel's ground, safely reach Emmanuel's ground. Brothers and sisters, this is why the martyrs could sing even while they were being burned at the stake. This is why believers who are suffering through horrific circumstances and serious illnesses, and even walking through the valley of the shadow of death, are able to rejoice and live rejoicing every day, as the hymn says, while those outside of Christ, facing similar circumstances, come to utter despair and hopelessness. We are troubled on every side, the Apostle Paul said, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Because we have something the world doesn't have: the person and work of Christ. Christ and what he has done for us. And firmly trusting in his blood, safely we shall pass the flood, safely reach Emmanuel's ground, safely reach Emmanuel's ground. In this life, we are going to face situations that will try us and that will test our faith. How many have already been through some? You're going to go through some things that are going to try you, they're going to test your faith. We're going to face adversities. We're going to face afflictions, loss of loved ones, shattered hopes, broken trusts, abandoned vows. Fiery temptations. Maybe even persecutions. The Apostle Paul said we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. But Christ will never leave us, neither forsake us. Louisa Steed, hymn writer, understood that when she wrote that hymn of joy. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." She penned those lyrics after losing both her husband and young son to drowning, as her husband was trying to save her son who was drowning. And they both went under the water while swimming in an ocean one day during a family picnic. "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him," she wrote. "How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." She ended with these words, "I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me and will be with me to the end." Louisa Steed experienced a great tragedy, but her trust in Christ increased. And she never stopped rejoicing in Christ, her Savior and friend. She trusted Christ's words that he would never leave us, neither forsake us, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in him. Like Wardlaw, she knew Christ of all our hopes the ground, Christ the spring of all our joy. Safely we shall pass the flood, safely reach Emmanuel's ground. I held the hand of my fellow elder, Don Stubblefield, as he drew his last breath on earth in 2021. His favorite hymn was number 4 in our Trinity hymnal, the one that our church uses for worship. The hymn was written in 1675 by a man named Johann Schütz. And it says, the Lord forsaketh not his flock, his chosen generation. He is their refuge and their rock, their God and their salvation. That word, by the way, in the text from Nehemiah, the Lord is our strength, is also translated refuge. Refuge. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our stronghold. A mighty fortress is our God, Luther wrote. A bulwark never failing. Amen? Mr. Stubblefield passed into glory with the expectation and certain hope of seeing his refuge, rock, and salvation face to face. Before he died, he couldn't speak. But he wrote these words on a slip of paper and handed it to me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That was the day he died. And he passed from this life into the joy of the Lord, his strength. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where thy victory? Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As his casket was being lowered into the grave, a bagpiper played, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, the treasure in these hymns of joy. I was with my grandmother the day she died. I was the only one that was able to see her that day. Ended up at the emergency room. I got the call. He said, she's been taken from her home into the emergency room at Burnet. And I was the last one to see her alive before the Starflight helicopter took off from the landing pad there in the hospital at Burnet. And I can say without any reservation that I've never seen such joy on the face of any person in my life since that day. Never. I can see her face right now, shining with just joy. In the ER, just before they came for her, she was holding her hand, and she looked up into the corner of the building. And her face was just radiating with joy. And she said, Steve, can't you see him? Can't you just see him? Her spiritual eyes were fixed on Christ. Christ, the hope, the ground of all her hopes. Christ of all her hopes, the ground. Christ, the spring of all her joy. If my grandmother had been healed on the spot, I don't think she could have experienced greater joy than the joy I saw in her eyes that day. And firmly trusting in Christ's blood, safely she then passed the flood and safely reached Emmanuel's ground. The joy of the Lord is that joy that comes from the Lord and flows to all who are in the Lord, whose eyes are fixed on Jesus and what he's done for them. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the spring of all our joy and the ground of all our hopes who trust in him. Why? Because of this. Because we know, because it is written in the Word of God, we know that the filthy garments of our sin and self-righteousness have been removed from us and placed on Christ, that our sins were fully atoned for at the cross, and that his perfect robe of righteousness is covering us now into eternity. The reason I rejoice today is found in the words of a modern hymn. before the throne of God above. The reason I'm filled with joy today is because the sinless Savior died, and my soul was counted free. For God, the just, was satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Praise God for these hymns of joy. One of the Puritans once said, Christians should be spreading the gospel just like a fire that burns everything in its path. We should be sharing the gospel with everyone we meet, giving an answer to every man the hope that lies within us. Out of our bellies should flow rivers of living water, and do. Out of our bellies should flow rivers of living water out from Christ through us to other people, as one writer put it. Christ crucified for sinners died is the gospel by which we were saved. And we should want everyone on earth to hear the good news and the gospel call to repent and believe. And that everyone who does shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how will they know unless someone tells them? You know, you guys know I'm a Calvinist, right? Okay. I know Jesus said, all the Father has given me will come to me. I also know that God used someone to share the gospel with me before God saved me. And that someone printed that tract that God used to bring my wife to the Lord. We need to be sharing the gospel. We're commanded to share the gospel. Brothers and sisters, there is a judgment day coming. And we know that though the unbelievers will at Christ's appearing cry out for the rocks to crush them and hide them from the face of him who sits upon the throne, we who trust in Christ will be safe in the cleft of the rock. Jesus, our refuge, the rock of ages, cleft for us, as the old hymn puts it. Christ has spoken gladness to our hearts. Oh, that everyone on earth could know him as we do and come to understand that his works alone can atone for their sins. His cross alone bear the awful load of their transgressions. His righteousness alone cover them. Horatius Bonar wrote those words in that great hymn back in 1857. Thy works, not mine, O Christ, speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done. They bid my fear depart. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Bonar goes on, thy cross alone, O Christ, has borne the awful load of sins that none in heaven or earth could bear but God. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails save that which is of thee. To whom save thee? Who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Sometimes I wonder how professing Christians can get so absorbed into secular music. But then I remember where I was many years ago. Then I remember that I was there once. And I remember all my excuses. Well, I don't listen to the words, just the music. That's what I used to say. Yeah, just the music. But now for decades, I've had to fight off the memory of those words and the thoughts that come with them. And the way I've done it is by singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. I was smiling because I was just thinking about the time when I was in Walmart and some song from my past was playing, probably one that I played when I played in the heavy metal band, you know, and it was coming, and all of a sudden I just said, holy, 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 and I look around, and there's people who are looking at me like, this guy just went nuts in aisle 13. Yeah. Early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee, holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I was one of those who justified listening to secular music in my teens, saying, you know, if you listen to secular stations long enough, you'll hear a decent song once in a while. You know, you'll hear a good one once in a while. It's all right. That's what I'd say to myself. But how many songs about worldliness, you know, and debauchery and miserable souls lamenting over failed relationships do you have to endure before you hear one decent one? You know, if someone told me today that I could find a nice grilled steak and, you know, in a sealed plastic bag at the bottom of a dumpster full of garbage, but I had to eat everything, all the garbage that was on top of it to get to it, I don't think I would do that. My favorite Christian recording artist is a man named Martin Lloyd-Jones. People say, I didn't know he was a singer. I said, neither did he. Yeah, but if you go and you know, you do a Google search or whatever, Bing, whatever you use, you know, Martin Lloyd-Jones sings Westminster Chapel. You'll get these hymns that will come up, lots of them, like maybe dozens. And it's him being recorded. I don't know if he knew he was being recorded or not, but they're singing at Westminster Chapel in London in the 1950s and 1960s, and his voice is over him. You can hear him singing with him. And it's just, I love it. He's my favorite singer, my favorite recording artist. It's from the heart. It's genuine. It's real. Not what I grew up with. Not the stuff that we recorded and distributed. He didn't know he was a singer. But his voice came across on all those hymns in the 1950s and 1960s at Westminster Chapel. You know, I've said many times what I would give to be in that place for 5 minutes, just for 5 minutes, just drop down into Westminster Chapel and be there for 5 minutes in the 1950s and 60s. And of course, you kind of can be if you just look it up on the internet. I encourage everyone to do that. One of the hymns that was being recorded when he was singing was "And Can It Be?" And Can It Be? You know the words, "Amazing Love." How can it be that Christ, my God, shouldst die for me? Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The person and the work of the Lord Jesus is the source of all our joy and rejoicing as the children of God. This is, in the words of John Gill, the joy that has the Lord for its object and comes from Him. That, by the way, is from John Gill's commentary on the Nehemiah passage, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I want to close this afternoon with the words of two hymns of joy, one from Charles Wesley, the other from John Newton. I sent this first hymn of joy this past week to a brother who I think he just got out of the hospital today in Victoria, a pastor. It's Charles Wesley, 1740. Feast on these words with me. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is nigh, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven glide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. Amen. How many can say that? Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Wesley closes this hymn out with words that speak joy to the heart and soul of every child of God. Plenteous grace in thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take from thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. And finally, as we close, John Newton, 1779, directed to the Church of Christ and speaking about the Church of Christ. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? Nothing, nothing. With salvation's arms surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord, the giver, never fails from age to age. Savior, he ends with, if of Zion's city I, through grace, a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure. Oh, please, hang on this as we close. Fading is the worldling's pleasure. All his boasted pomp and show, solid joys, and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Amen? They're all saying the same thing Wardlaw was saying when we started. Christ is of all our hopes the ground, Christ the spring of all our joy, his person and his work, and firmly trusting in his blood, nothing shall our hearts confound. Safely we shall pass the flood, brothers and sisters. Safely reach Emmanuel's ground. Safely reach Emmanuel's ground. A 5-year-old can understand it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time and your word this weekend, and we pray that above all, O God, that you have been glorified. And we trust, O God, that your people have been edified and built up in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ground of all our hope and the spring of all our joy. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would be with your people, God, as we go our separate ways today, that you'd keep everyone safe, O Lord, that you would keep our hearts and our minds fixed upon our Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us, O God. The ground of all our hope, the spring of all our joy. For it's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Until next year, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.